Hey, it is 9:30. Welcome to the Friday Night Hangout. This is where we grab a brew, shoot the breeze, and interact with you live on the internet. Small panel tonight because we're getting ready for our summer break. Yes, folks, we enjoy our summer too, so we're going to take a little summer break for the next couple months. But before we get to our break, we're going to do one more hangout, and we get our usual list of topics, discussions, beer, ready to go. So as we get all settled in, we'll do a quick round of intros and get things going here. From Dartmouth, we got Dan with us tonight. Good evening, Dan.
Giggity giggity. All right.
Tana Magush, Wallace, Nova Scotia. Keith, ElliottStone.com. How's it going, Keith?
Oh, great.
And to the Valley, Lee. Lee Hughie, Beer and Booze Reviews on the YouTube. How's it going, Lee?
Pretty good. Pretty good, sir.
Right. And, of course, I am in Halifax here, and we're just about to get ready. All right, so let's start off with what we're drinking tonight, and then we'll get going here with the show topics. Lee, what are you drinking tonight?
I am drinking the best beer, well, second best beer from the Amsterdam Brewery, Bone Shaker IPA.
Oh, yes. Mm. Keith, what are you drinking tonight?
Oh, I am drinking from Tana Brew, Giantess Barley Wine, 11%, and it is very, very smooth.
A very dangerous, very dangerous wine.
It's, I think it's worth the danger.
Yes, yes. Dan, what are you drinking tonight?
Well, before we actually went on live, I started off with the Pickeroon's Dooyard Summer Ale, which is a really nice light palate cleanser. I've really been enjoying them, so that's what I had. And I'm going with an old standby, the good old-fashioned Hell Bay English Ale.
Nice.
There you go. Good stuff. Quad Laboration beer from Garrison, Trou du Diable, Flying Monkeys, and Phillips. Coast-to-coast-to-coast beer. This is called Greetings from Canada, Imperial ESB, 7.6%, 50 IBUs, nice, malty, boozy beer. We talk about two things on this hangout, Fury and the goddamn Blue Nose. That's what we do. So I mentioned a couple weeks ago, the TIR minister decided to jump on the ferry at Yarmouth, go down to Portland, Maine, thinking that he's going to meet with the governor and then do some shopping down in Portland, but the capital of Maine is in Augusta. kind of not nowhere near shopping. So hopefully he rented a car. But they were down yesterday to have meetings with the state of Maine, Governor LePage, talking about, you know, the ferry. And, you know, I'm seeing this things here is that we're going to evaluate things in July to see if we're gonna find another provider and stuff. It's like the season is barely starting, and yet you're gonna take 2 weeks and gauge how the season's gonna go. Like you don't have to do this in September, right?
Mm-hmm.
Reality is that Nova Scotia is gonna have to give quite a bit of money. You guys are not gonna give us the $5 million you promised a couple years ago. What else can you do, kind of deal? You know, how the season's going to go, right?
Yeah, well, you know what this is. It's a floating BlackBerry call center, for fuck's sakes, is what it is. it's the same crap that the NS government does all the time. They throw money at any company that raises its skirt for them a little bit, and then they take the money, and then they run, and then we're left holding the bag every damn time.
But that's the thing. I do agree they've thrown way too much money at this ferry, but at the same time, I don't think they're going to try to give it enough time to see if it's going to work or not. If you're going to throw that much money at it, why not see if it's going to work? Then they're going to pull the rug out from under them and award it to somebody else. I mean, after a while, nobody's going to want to touch this ferry with a 10-foot pole. Business is like, well, we're not getting into it. They're not going to give us enough time to run it. We're out.
Yeah, the problem is they should
have. I can see this ending.
They should have planned longer and further ahead before they even started into this. It's the biggest problem.
Well, a lot of this also falls from the failures of the analysis that actually went into proposing the finances for this. I mean, is anyone hanging for that one?
it probably wasn't considered a failure. It was probably, here's the business plan you want to hear. Here's the numbers you want to hear, not the real numbers that, you know, will probably put you in the red for a few years before you even start making money. We don't want to hear about that. We want to hear about the business plan that's going to, you know, look really good on paper and get us votes. And, oh, by the way, in another year or so, it's just going to sink.
And now, especially, it's good now because our exchange rate is much lower. It's more advantageous now for the American visitors to come up here. So, in the news in Halifax, there's been a lot of concern about decks, the outside porch deck for a number of establishments, and we've had a few collapses in Halifax last while, and apparently there was one in Yarmouth, and I'm just going to bring up the picture here on our...
Oh!
And then
I don't care how well you make something. I mean, that's not going to work.
With that, no, that's way over capacity right there. Holy crap.
The deck looks normal, and then the other picture, it's starting to go.
Yeah, I think she would have known.
I was listening to a contractor on the radio talk about how some of these cheap deck builders, how they just basically just nail stuff to the house and, just the building standards to prevent the wood to rot is really, really lax.
What about building inspectors, though, too? I mean, these are either not done to code or the building inspectors are, you know, idiots, which, you know, is a possibility because there doesn't seem to be any consistency when it comes to building codes and inspections.
There isn't.
So, yeah, I mean, mostly this is a common sense issue, though, in my mind.
It's a good old boy system. I see it in the Annapolis Valley all the time. There are plenty of contractors around who don't follow code because they don't have to because they're the only game in town.
And it saves them money, too. They can get it done faster and cheaper if you don't have to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you don't have to nail it to the house, yeah, sure.
Yeah, I mean, Mike Holmes, he'd have a fucking stroke if he came down here.
Draw deck plans just about every other day, and I do stop the... Most of the contractors say, welcome, you're using a 4-ply beam here instead of a 2-ply beam, or why are you using 6x6s to hold for the posts instead of 4x4s? I just tell them, says, that's the code. If you don't use it, build whatever you want. If it falls down, don't blame me because I didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
I give them the advice. If it's in the plan and they didn't do it, there you go. So.
Yeah. But, and then it's up to the building inspector to follow on, and most of these guys are doing it by... the shady guys are shady. They will take your money and build you a crappy deck.
Yeah, and it's not just building contractors. It's electrical. It's plumbing. They all do it. They all do the same thing. It's the same game around here. Of course, there's honest ones who follow the code, but there's just a lot of them.
They cost you a little more money.
Yeah, and
it costs you a little more money. Not everybody wants to pay that. So.
Yeah, I'd rather pay for my kids not dying. You know, like, I'd be more concerned about that than I would, you know, oh, this is really easy and cheap, and hey, maybe 10 years down the road, all of a sudden my deck collapses and kills somebody? Yeah. Like, just, it's so ridiculous.
Lucky nobody got killed in that, though, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't a long way to go down, but what a mess.
Let's move on to the next topic here, which is from Newfoundland, and too bad Mike wasn't on here tonight. You can give some context to this. But this seems an awfully familiar story. I thought I heard this last year, but a man from Conch, Newfoundland, hits a moose but can't remember. So apparently this guy hit a moose. He hit a moose, smashed his front windshield. He kept driving, and he drove about 20 kilometers. Somebody pulled him, or gesture, you're dragging a moose behind your car, or something like that.
He must have had a concussion or something. Like, he must have, like, got smacked.
I say that moose is like the Men in Black. It's got the little, pew! Like the moose in black.
You don't miss hitting a moose. Let's put it that way.
Your full attention is going to come. You know, it wasn't like you just ran over a mouse on the road. Your attention is front and center.
Well, like I said, this sounded familiar. But back in 2012, a woman from Newfoundland also drove about 40 kilometers with her windshield smash, and her roof of her car peeled back after she struck a moose. So people
that's
are
just a weekly thing over there.
There is one quote in there that says, he was buried with moose manure and his face was covered totally with blood.
Yeah, right there.
Yeah, he got his. Yeah, he got his bell rung, definitely.
Yeah, and I think Lee nailed it. You know, getting their bell rung, being in shock, just...
I'm just saying, this should be an ad campaign for Toyota, because if that vehicle went for another 20K, I mean, they've got to put that somewhere in their campaign.
Yeah. But
have you seen the fences in New Brunswick? They're very arbitrary because where they have them, they're fairly sturdy, but they'll stop at like brooks or they'll stop beside somebody's house.
Yeah.
Or so it's just like all the moose has to do is walk out onto somebody's lawn and scree across the road. All it really does is funnel the moose into crossing points, so there's just less places for you to hit them, but there's probably more of them when you do.
Oh. You can also edit that out too, Jim. Mark the time.
I think I will.
Mark the time.
Jim, just go back 5 minutes and just start.
Yeah, I'm just gonna start.
Here's hey, a you whole know what? 20-minute segment I can erase.
All right, let's do a block here. Hey, the city of Ottawa—they're proposing a gotta go toilet finder app.
Well, what an amazing segue! Yeah,
I had George Costanza do that.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So is this like every public restroom and any location? So,
yeah.
Do they?
Is this like a Yelp for shitters?
Yelp for shitters. They already have that. There is an online site about for bathrooms.
Cleanliness and stuff.
Rank them.
But can you add? Can you add toilets to this toilet finder, this gotta-go toilet finder that the city of Ottawa has proposed?
Can you add, like, somebody you hate? Ooh. Yeah, add his
No, but you know what I mean? Like, can you add different places? Because I've gone behind dumpsters before. I'll admit it. I have the bladder the size of a hamster, so.
and you know what? City crews are building phase one, which will include pictures, ratings, and photos, and opening hours of these public washrooms.
And well, what about the most important thing? Do you have to buy something at the location to use the toilet?
Yes.
That is a fair question.
Because some stores are like that. They're like, oh no, honey, you ain't coming in here just using our toilet. You gotta buy some stuff first. Get yourself a pack of gum or some shit before you, you know.
I know, a pack of gum. Have a pee.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a privately owned sort of endeavor? Like, are we expecting to see ads done on this?
Maybe not, but this is the city that's going through this, so it's probably the city staff will be busy collecting all the waypoints of the washrooms.
Oh my god, and you can somehow merge this with geocaching.
It's under the law.
Yeah. Look at that.
Left something. Some log.
Oh my goodness.
And you could mimic Twitter with this and just call it shitter.
Mm-hmm.
And you could do sheets.
Yeah.
Geocrapping.
Yeah, geocrapping.
We have a winner.
Yeah.
Whoop whoop. Vancouver Island, near Vancouver Island. Somebody carved a face into a rock?
I saw it, and I'm really not convinced it was carved.
It doesn't look like it.
I mean, like I've seen a lot of...
Martian face.
I've seen a lot of rocks. I can testify to that, and you can see a lot of things in them if you really look at them long enough and hard enough, and the light catches them a certain way. I'm not convinced that was carved. I mean... Until somebody gets a close look at it and sees tool marks on it or whatever, I'm going to say that it's just nature.
Well, if you can find Jesus on toast, I'm sure you can find a man in rocks.
Yeah. I mean, it's human nature to automatically associate shapes with familiar things. That's just how we're hardwired.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's cool, but I think they should look into it, but I don't know.
And there are plenty of examples in nature of similar things where there, you know, mountainsides and cliffsides and stuff that look like human faces on a certain angle or whatever. I mean, and like Dan said, the Mars pictures or whatever with those mountain ranges and stuff. I mean, it's just common. It is how we're hardwired. We look for patterns and everything. just to keep us sane, really.
And I'm also going to say, as guys, everything looks like dicks to us.
Yeah, so, dicks and boobs. Dicks and boobs.
I mean, why not faces?
Mm-hmm. Well, we're talking about Canadians going down, joining the Confederate side or the Union side, and or being the smugglers helping bypass the embargoes by taking in all the shipments, selling them the ammunition, booze, all that stuff.
Well, the Confederates needed that. They really didn't have much of an industry at all. Like that was something the North had over the South. They had more of an industrial complex than the South did.
Well, they had to because they didn't have slaves.
Yeah.
We have to have machines because, you know, we don't have here. Yeah.
The lower Secord was in some deep shit.
It is very interesting. And I forget the name of the book. Man, if I can find it, I'll either tweet it or something. It's
I'd be interested to see that.
From the gist I got, it's not surprising. People from Nova Scotia or New Brunswick joined the Confederate side more than the Union side, which is not surprising.
Not surprising at all. Bible Belt of Nova Scotia right here, man.
Well, at least they didn't take the Yarmouth ferry over there.
If you get people to sign up, you get paid as well. That was a big thing. I read a biography of somebody that was a cavalryman in Custer's army during the Civil War. And, they told him if he went and brought back 20 people, he'd get, like, $20 and a captain's, the rank of captain.
Yep.
Really? He had no military experience. So, I mean, sure, they're, you know, money for everybody.
For those who are wondering about the book, the Civil War is called Blood and Daring. How Canada Fought the American Civil War and Forged a Nation. Let's see here. Let's see if it's on iBooks. Oh, you know what's on iBooks, eh?
What's that, Jim?
Yeah.
My book.
I smell a segue coming. What would that be?
Smooth, Dan. Smooth.
It's smooth. Hang on. I was trying to make it smooth here. Okay. I'll do a little thing here. But basically, for those who don't know, my latest ebook is out on iTunes, got available. So if you're in the iPhone, you can search Nova Scotia Hiking Trail Guide and download it. That'll make me very happy. But we have iPhone, the version that's out on iTunes right now for iPhone, that will work for Kobo, Kindle, and Android users. You can also go to the Voting Chores website. You can download that straight from the website. Apple doesn't take their cut. Or you can download the iPad version or Mac version, get the Cadillac, swipe through pictures and all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
I'm going to tell you, the tools that they gave you to actually design the iBooks with the multimedia it's absolutely fantastic. It's a dream for authors in that.
Yeah.
And if you decide to buy this book, you will be reimbursed $50, money not included.
That's right.
That's right.
Big bonus, if you buy through iTunes, you'll be guaranteed to get any updates I will push out.
Yeah.
I plan to do about 2-3 updates a year. So you buy once, it's always up to date.
And if you buy 20 of them, you get to become a part of the Elite Platinum member.
Yes. Mm. With that, I go to your house and I'm cooking pancake breakfast.
In the Dutch oven.
In the Dutch oven.
Yeah,
or you take them to the beer garden and drop them off and let them fend for themselves.
The Blood and Daring book on iTunes is $13.99. A little steep. My book is not as expensive as that. It's $4.99, but that's
far more useful.
Yeah. So learn about hiking before you learn about the Civil War.
Yeah. What did the Civil War ever do for you?
Jim?
Yes?
How many bottles of barley wine would I need to get through that?
which one? His book or the other book?
The other book.
Well, considering that you're probably going to be falling asleep after you've done the barley wine, it might take you a few.
Yeah,
if you do like 10 pages.
This is getting expensive.
You might get 10 pages in and then...
Is there a Ken Burns version of it?
It's 49 hours long.
49 hours of panning.
Oh my god.
This is a guy who made a career out of panning photographs.
That being said, it did change everything.
Yes, it's true.
Everything.
Did you guys watch the National Park document series he did? Beautiful.
I've heard fantastic things about it.
The Civil War. The Civil War documentary. That's been 15 years, 20 years, 25 years? Mm-hmm. 25 years.
Going over the map there. Sometime in the past.
Years are hard.
By the way, for those who haven't seen it, YouTube Kung Fury.
It's a half hour of your time.
Oh, yes.
Great half hour of your time.
All right, let's move on to the next topic.
Actually, this one is actually dedicated to Lori.
She's not listening right now, though.
Yeah. But if she ever gets, you know, the podcast, if it does come out, then this will be good for her.
This will go into the hidden files. So
this is one of Dan's topics, and you know what? I saw a selfie stick on the Halifax boardwalk tonight. After 4 o'clock, after work, 4 o'clock, I go down. As I walk towards the Stillwell Beer Garden, I see a gentleman holding a selfie stick.
Ugh.
So going to the story,
I can take a picture. I don't know.
Disney employees are now being told to tell vacationers to not bring selfie sticks near. So does this mean like someone dressed up like Goofy is going to be tapping me on the shoulder and going, "Oh, yo, put that shit away." Oh. But you did see in the article, they did say that there's issues of people taking them into roller coasters and, you know, trying to film themselves in roller coasters, and you can imagine how well that goes.
Yeah. There's big liability questions there. I mean, that's understandable. I mean, if you want to be a douche and take a picture of yourself with a selfie stick in public, outside of a park or whatever, you know, amusement park and shit, fine, whatever, do it. But I mean, if you're going into a privately owned, you know, place like Disney World or whatever, and that's the rule, you got to abide by it. I mean, it really probably just comes down to litigation fears more than anything else. You bring that selfie stick and we're going to get Pluto to bite your nuts off. Oh,
I'm going to destroy. We're going to put that selfie stick. Woohoo! Can you imagine being like a Disneyland where, you know, like everyone's trying to take up like, you know, 1 square foot of like space, and then someone decides to consume it all with the selfie stick? I mean, I'm sure there's been some fisticuffs due to that. I haven't talked about Chuck Tingle in a while. I don't have more Chuck Tingle stuff, but I did find another author there, and I'm just going to show off two of her books. This one is, "I don't care if my best friend's mom is a Sasquatch, she's hot, and I'm taking a shower with her." It's a pretty long title. It's a pretty steamy affair, especially that the best friend's mom is a Sasquatch who is hot.
Mm. Wow.
By Lacey Noonan. And another one that Lacey Noonan came up with is the Seduced by the Dad Bod. The Chill Dad's Heat Series book. And isn't he, that
a
guy
dollar on Kindle.
Rocking the high. Dad Bod. Seriously. And he's got the beer. We can just only imagine what craft beer this Dad Bod's consuming to maintain such a bodacious form.
So people are taking things off Literatica and basically charging money for it.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Amanda's back in college, and she's bored to tears with her hometown and her boyfriend, Jacob, who he only seems to have eyes for his phone. Bored to tears, that is, until she catches sight of a body. A body. Big, sweet sack of sugar emerging from pool one sunny afternoon.
And the length of this podcast, we're probably going to be, I think, 12, 13 minutes. I think
that's if you stretch it.
Yeah.
Hey, next one, we can try to get it down to 8 if you really want.
Yeah.
All right. Challenge accepted.
All right. So with that, thank you, everybody. Thank you, panel. We'll do this again on a Friday. So goodbye, everybody.
Good. Bye-bye. Pooping. Bye.